We're now ready to begin the 41st chapter of Genesis, and this chapter also continues the story of Joseph. Joseph has continued to be in prison, and during this time, especially after he had the opportunity with the butler to have his case brought before Pharaoh, and the butler forgot about him, he must become somewhat discouraged. Also, Potiphar is bound to know that Joseph was innocent, but Potiphar didn't make any move to get him out of this prison situation either. This could also add to his discouragement. And so we see Joseph in the position here that many Christians find themselves in, a time when they're apt to be discouraged, a time when they wonder if anyone at all is really concerned about them. They wonder if maybe God has forgotten them. Why are they in this predicament anyway? What did they do to deserve this situation? But we today have scriptures to comfort us that even Joseph did not have. In Romans 8, verse 28, for example, the Apostle Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So these situations that seem to be so difficult that we don't seem to have an answer for, that we wonder if they're ever going to come to an end, if they're called according to God's purpose, if we love God, they're going to be actually something that works to our good in the long run. And the same is true with Joseph here. At this point, Joseph really couldn't see what it was going to be. How could this work to any good, he might be thinking. But we know from a further study of the book of Genesis that this definitely did have a good effect in the long run. God had a purpose for Joseph doing this. The time would come when God would again give Joseph cause for rejoicing. God would again give Joseph a sense of purpose in this life. Once again, when the time did come, and Joseph had to wait 2 years in his prison before it did come, the dreams would play an important part in his life. In the earlier years, dreams had played an important part in his life. He'd been able to gain a certain amount of insight as to what was happening concerning his future relating to his own family. He had two dreams that told about that. Later, when the baker and the butler were in prison with him, and he interpreted their dreams, and one was favorable, of course, to the butler, he had some hope that maybe the butler would remember him at a future time, and dreams played an important role there. Now we're going to see that this time, the dreams he's going to be involved with are the dreams of Pharaoh himself, and they would have to do with important developments that would affect the land of Egypt, and in fact, the entire area of the Near East. So chapter 41, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river." So we see that it had been 2 full years that Joseph languished in this prison before Pharaoh had this dream. And the dreams that we're dealing with here in Joseph's experience came in pairs. First, he had 2 dreams himself, about himself. Then he had 2 related dreams by the butler and the baker that he interpreted. And now Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is going to have 2 dreams. These dreams occurred, as we said, 2 full years after Joseph's interpretation of the dreams of the butler and the baker. So Joseph had really been in prison for a long time, considering the fact that he was actually an innocent person. So verses 2 and 3 say, "And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke." So the story here is saying that one night Pharaoh was dreaming, and the dream became very vivid and impressive. He was standing by the river Nile when he saw an amazing thing happen. 7 beautifully healthy, fat-fleshed cows coming up out of the river and then grazing among the reeds along the side of the river. The cows must have impressed Pharaoh, especially in a religious sense, because the cow was the emblem of Isis, the revered Egyptian goddess of fertility. In the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the chief scripture of ancient Egypt, the god of vegetation and of the spirit world, Osiris, is represented as a great bull accompanied by 7 cows. As Pharaoh watched the 7 well-favored cows, probably indicating to him that there was great prosperity over the land over which he ruled. He saw 7 ugly and thin-fleshed cows come out of the river and stand beside the 7 well-favored cows. Then, strangely and unexpectedly, the lean cows turned to the fat cows and started to eat them up. And, of course, such a thing could only happen in a dream, and it was so startling that Pharaoh woke up after wondering what it might mean. He soon became drowsy and fell asleep again. Verses 5, 6, and 7, "And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream." So the second dream that he had was just as sharp and strange and startling as the first dream. This time he was out gazing at a grain field, and this was a common sight throughout this fertile plain of Egypt. As he looked, he saw a stalk of grain going up. On the stalk, 7 ears of grain, not corn in the modern American sense of maize, but it's a form of wheat. And it grew plump and full. Again, Pharaoh must have been impressed with the richness of Egypt, and to know that all the elements of Egypt were functioning well now from the agricultural standpoint, Egypt was known as the granary of the ancient world. But then the same thing happened that had overtaken the fat cattle in his earlier dream. These plump ears had a problem. The 7 thin ears of grain, blasted and withered with Egypt's bitter east wind, came up. The violent winds from the eastern wilderness would almost wither any growing plant, and these ears of grain were hardened and thin and utterly unusable. Then a sight just as strange as that of the cattle being eaten was the fact that the thin ears swallowed up the plump ears. And the word used in the case of the cattle, a cow, indicates the lean cattle actually chewed up the fat cattle. In the case of the grain, the word is bala, B-A-L-A, indicating a process of swallowing or engulfing. But the repetition of the same theme with different figures greatly impressed Pharaoh. He again awoke. He tossed and turned in his bed, wondering what strange meaning was behind his extraordinary dreams. The dreams had been so vivid that in spite of the physical impossibility of the events he had seen in the dream, he had actually been surprised to find that on awakening he was only dreaming. These were realistic dreams to Pharaoh. Verses 8 through 13 further relate, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret him unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, a servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged." So we see the story here tells how that Joseph is going to become involved in this dreams business of the Pharaoh. As soon as it was morning, Pharaoh sent for the most famous magicians and wise men of Egypt to interpret his dreams. He sensed that there was something ominous about the dreams. There's something that he needed to know. For these dreams seemed to be saying that the very symbols of the gods and of the prosperity of the land of Egypt had been destroyed right before his very eyes. The fact is, though, that the occultists of Egypt were helpless to understand the dreams. Great as their powers may have been, and the experience of Moses several centuries later with a similar group of Egyptian magicians indicated that they were men who had considerable power. See Exodus 7, 11, 22, and chapter 8 and 7. They were not able to interpret these dreams. Certain fortune tellers and those who claim to have spirit contacts throughout history profess to be able to understand dreams and foretell future events. And they've even made some profound impression on the others round about them, seeming to be successful in interpreting dreams. And whatever abilities they may have had to be able to do this, It is possible that that ability has come from the fact that they were able to communicate with demons. Demonic spirits, who as fallen angels almost certainly are associated with Satan and their rebellion against God, have some limited ability to control future events and therefore to predict those events they can control. Furthermore, they utilize this power on behalf of their human intermediaries, whose occult abilities can in turn be used to turn the hearts of men away from the true God towards Satan. And these demonic abilities and manifestations seem to be much more prevalent during the time when we had the miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which we really don't have that at this time. But in this case, Pharaoh's dreams had not been generated by evil spirits, and therefore these spirits were not able to understand their implications. One after another, the wise men and magicians had to confess that they could not explain the dreams, although they did recognize, as Pharaoh did, that the dreams were significant and that they had some kind of a message about the crisis coming upon the land of Egypt. But they were unable to shed light on the meaning of these dreams that Pharaoh had. Well, that brings our lesson to a close at this time. Next time we'll continue with the story of these dreams of the Pharaoh. Until next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.